Let's read together from 1 John chapter 4. God's love was revealed among us in this way. God sent His only Son into the world so that we might live through Him. So we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and those who abide in love abide in God, and God abides in them. We love because He first loved us. I don't know whether you've heard about the little fishy that went to his mum and asked her, "Mum, others are saying that we are living in water, that there's water all around us. In water we live and we move and we have our whole being in water. It's our life and water's in us. Is it true?" His mum looked at him and said, "Yes, my lovey, it's true." And he said, "But I can't see it. I can't touch it. I can't feel it. How do I know? How can I know that there's something like water?" And his mum says, "I think you've got to believe it. I can't really convince you. Now, I can show you the effect of water, but you'll find a lot of explanations of why things are happening. But I know, because I had some experiences that opened my inside just up to believe. Your birth, for instance, I had a big sense and a feeling that there's something behind your being, you coming into being. There's a source of life. And with the death of your father, I think through experience like that, you'll come to know that life is a gift. And it's the end of your life as you knew it. It's a gift to believe. I can only encourage you, my son, to be attentive, to be reflective on your experiences in life, and just perhaps ask the source to reveal itself to you." Now, John, also called the beloved disciple of Jesus, says something like this to us. We are in love. We are like little fish, saturated in love. In love we live and move and have our whole being, our whole existence is because of love. And of course that's an idea of the early church, that's the reason for creation. God is love. And because He is love, He created us, everything. And He's given us life, everything to sustain our lives. Because He is love. I grew up with the idea, I was taught, that God has no needs at all. Because God is perfect in every way. But I read a sentence from a philosopher and a psychologist, Erich Fromm, that changed my mind. He said there are two ways of loving. And he said, the first way is to love someone because you need them. In the other way is to need someone because you love them. And when I read that, I realized God has needs. God has a need for us because He's love. And He wanted to share whatever He has, His life, with us. And here's a big and important thing. Not only did He give us life, but He's giving us life at this moment. He's actively involved in life at this moment, physically. I mean, all the atoms that bind together and formed molecules that bind together and brought into your whole being are brought together. Why? How? What keeps them together? Well, the Bible says, Colossians 1:15, that it is Jesus. He holds everything together. The earth has been given to us, and it's still being given to us, that sustains us socially. Everything that you have is a gift of God, and God keeps on giving it to you. Now, this is only ideas. This is theology. But John's main aim of writing this letter was not just to inform us of a fact, but was to invite us into an experience. That's why he writes and says, you've got to know this love. And the word that he uses in Greek for know means to experientially come to know for yourself what it is like. And I wonder, perhaps to just take us through the first 5 minutes of your day, to get a feel for what it would be like to get to know the love that we find ourselves in experientially. For years, I realized, a decade or what ago, that I did not wake up with a consciousness of God. I woke up with a consciousness of what has to be done today. And I've got to do this, I've got to do this. And then later on during the day, I will have a little time of quiet where I just ask God to help me and dedicate my life to Him. But my main consciousness was not that I am in God. And I'm in love, and there's love and actions of love taking place all the time in my life. And I realize just to become awake, just to wake up is a miracle. Think about it for a moment. There's this strange thing, and it's a mystery that happens to us every day. We fall asleep. We need to sleep. And with all the knowledge that we have, we don't really know why. We know what happens through sleep. And we know how good it is for us to sleep. But especially from an evolutionary perspective, why didn't we grow out of it? Because it's dangerous. And you're vulnerable. And all the species that sleep can easily lose everything through sleep. But still, it stays a major part of our lives to lose our consciousness and to go in a semi-coma every day for about a third of our lives. And that's the way that we live. And of course, a lot of things happen during our sleep. But imagine, with your birth, doctor came to your mom and dad and says, well, we did all the tests. Everything looks fine. There's just this one condition that he will lose consciousness every day for about 8 hours. And this is a condition that he would live with his whole life. And a third of his life, he will spend unconscious. Strange. It's a miracle just to gain consciousness again. Of course, we've lost touch with that idea. In the time of Jesus, the life expectancy was around about 40 years. And people went to bed differently. You know, of the prayers that we're aware of, that some people pray, would be something like this: God, thank you for this night that lies ahead. My life is in your hands. I might not wake up tomorrow morning. You might come and take me today. So I thank you for this day. And if you give me another day tomorrow, I want to live with you. And I want to give and spend my energy for the good. People would greet each other, you know, with a different type of attitude that I might not see you again. But thank you for this day. And if we have another day, we're going to do it together. So it's a wonder just to wake up. Now, here is a suggestion from a psychiatrist that's very involved in sleeping and everything, that suggests that perhaps the first thing you should do when you wake up, because you wake up in stages, would not be to open up your eyes, but to encourage a yawn, to take in a deep breath, fill your lungs with oxygen. It's very good for the stages physically, but also emotionally. A lot of stuff happens in your brain when you do that. And I want to add another dimension to that. Perhaps just to become aware, to think about it, that this breath is given by God to me at this moment. Paul says, Ephesians 4:30, Message, the Holy Spirit breathing in you, the most intimate part of your life. Don't take such a gift for granted. God gives us our breath. It's the gift of life. It's a new day. And the psalmist says, your loving kindness are new every morning. It's love giving, coming to me through the gift of my life. And as I put my feet on the ground, I become aware of the ground underneath my feet. It's also a gift, the earth. Sustenance that I receive from the earth. Everything and every step that I take would be the ground that he gives to me. I don't have to own it. I don't have to have papers for it. But this is my life now coming to me, being given to God by me. Be aware of it. Recognize it. Recognize the source of your life. And recognize the gift of love that comes to you. Acknowledge it. Accept it. And through this way, you can experience it. It's not just the idea that we should live with. It should be a reality. Practically. You know. And here's a quote from Arupe. He says, nothing is more practical than finding God. Now falling in love in a quiet, absolute, final way. What you are in love with, what seizes your imaginations, will affect everything. It will decide what will get you out of bed in the morning, what you will do with your evening, how you spend your weekends, what you read, whom you know, what breaks your heart, and what amazes you with joy and gratitude. Fall in love. Stay in love. It will decide everything. Now the question is, how is it possible? Is it really possible to become aware of love everywhere? The fact that I am in love? Is it possible to cultivate a consciousness? You know, it's like having a consciousness, an awareness of somebody in the house. Even though you're not thinking about that person that you spend your life with, for instance, you are aware of that person. The house is totally different if that person is in the house. Now, how's it possible between me and God and this love, this reality that I found myself in? And of course, it is possible. And Jesus says that we should love God with all our heart, with everything in us. We can love God this way. How can I cultivate such a consciousness? How can I can become aware of this love? Now, there's a lot of paths and ways that you can take. But John suggests something in this verse that we read. He says that love is also in us. And you can choose the way of the heart. That's what it's known through history in the church. It's an inner journey to find your heart. And in that way, you will find the love. Augustine says, I came to love you too late. What did I know? You were inside me. I was out of my body and my mind looking for you. He took the inner path, the inner journey. You've got a place inside of you, or something inside of you. It's called your heart. That's the place in you where all your functions meet and come together. It's your core. It is the real you. Your heart cannot be created. It cannot be destroyed. It cannot be controlled. It cannot be ignored. Your heart never sleeps. And your heart's got a condition. At the core of your heart is a desire, a longing, a yearning for love. And you'll find evidence of this desire and condition all around you, in arts and in psychology will tell you about it. Sociologists, even neurologists will tell you about the function of the brain and of this dynamic that is common to being human. And you can perhaps just get in touch with it inside yourself. It's behind that longing to be beautiful. It's behind that longing and desire that you have to have a child. It's behind that longing for a soulmate, for a sacrifice, for doing something big outside of yourself, for to help and to benefit a lot of other people. It's love. And it's that desire to give love, to receive love. It can also be experienced as a deep pain. The pain of loneliness. I've got nobody. There's nobody there for me. I want to be there for somebody else. I've got so much to give. It's the reason perhaps for your anger and your bitterness. I've been betrayed. There was infidelity. Love was ignored. And it hurts. So here's the invitation to get in touch with that desire inside of you. Get to know that desire. Sit with that desire. What form does it take in your life? We're all unique and we experience it in different ways. And what times do you most deeply feel that desire? What's the influence of that desire on your life? What do you do with that desire? Perhaps when you experience it as pain and as loneliness, you might numb yourself. That, of course, is the reason for a lot of the addictions that we live with. And perhaps you misplace this love. You think it's something else, this emptiness. And perhaps, you know, this discomfort that I sit with. Unfulfillment that I sit with. The moment that you connect that desire to God and you realize that this is a gift from God. This desire is love. Love is not just around me. I'm not just in love, but love is inside of me. That's the way that God created you. At that moment, you realize that everything is from love, to love. It's the source of your life, the source of love, calling you to respond. The moment you realize that, you will find yourself praying. Your heart will start to pray. There would be a great and a big movement to surrender, to answer to that love. And that would be the bridge to walk over. to your home. You know, somebody once said, a lot of us has a home away from home. We spend most of our time and our lives that's in a place that's not really our home. This is our home. You come back home. And this is where, this is your treasure. Well, Jesus said, this is the big treasure. If you find this treasure, you sell everything. You know there's nothing more precious than this treasure. It will take you on a wonderful journey. And that's the relation, and that's the invitation. Perhaps that if I'm not aware of love, I don't recognize love. Help me. Please awake me so that I can become aware of the love that I find myself in. Help me to appreciate, to accept, to pay attention, and to get to know this love and to stay in this love. You know, to keep this awareness and cultivate a love and a knowledge and an experience of love. That's the invitation. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for the love that you have for us. Thank you for our lives, for our being, for the place that we find ourselves. And perhaps today, this might only be words, this might only be ideas to a lot of us, but help us. Open our eyes. Let we experience, let we come to know this love. Help us to find our home in this place and to stay in this love and to live with this love. We ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Receive the blessing of the Lord. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you. Amen.